This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 10th of January 2014. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 10th of January 2014. Which this week have been edited by Lorna Chorley and Michael Turner. Now, your readers today are Jean Carswell.
Hello.
Michael Wyard.
Hello.
And Brian Woodruff.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. Now, the main headlines this week: Silver Hill plan set to be revised, roadworks leave residents isolated, and sandbags issued as district escapes worst of weather. So, Jean, may we have the story behind the first headline, please?
Yes, Silver Hill plans set to be revised. Tweaks for shop space and bus station needs. A new planning application for the £130 million Silver Hill development is expected imminently, the Hampshire Chronicle can reveal now. The new plans will see more space for shops and a change as the proposed replacement bus station. But Winchester City Council, the co-developer, says the scheme will largely be the same and the plans are just being tweaked. The scheme for the regeneration of a chunk of the city centre has been on the cards for more than 20 years and got planning permission in 2009. The Council and Henderson Global Investors have been completing the compulsory purchase of the land. A Council spokeswoman said, "The Council are working with the developer, Henderson, and taking expert advice to look at the approved scheme, as circumstances have changed in the last 4 years. In particular, Stagecoach has indicated that they may not require a traditional bus station as currently provided. Provision for bus passengers will remain a key part of the scheme, but the way this is achieved may be modified. This then creates the opportunity to ensure that the scheme reflects the best solution to improve Winchester's retail environment." She said the proposed flats were also being reviewed. The way in which residential floor space is divided up into individual units is also being looked at again in the light of the changing housing market. The overall layout of the scheme will remain broadly the same, but we have the opportunity to review aspects of building design and ensure we have the highest quality public spaces. Full public consultation on any revisions will also take place. The Council is keen to stress that it sees the new application as a relatively minor revision and not a green light for new ideas. Henderson recently opposed M&S plans for a new food store on Eastern Lane, Winnell. In a letter to the planners, Henderson said, "The requirements of Marks and Spencer can be fully accommodated within the Silver Hill proposals, and therefore any consent to an out-of-centre location at this time would be damaging to the viability of the Silver Hill development, and in our view, to the town centre as a whole. Meanwhile, a date for the High Court hearing for a legal challenge against the scheme has yet to be set." London and Henley, which owns a large chunk of the site, is still fighting the approval of the compulsory purchase order approved by Eric Pickles, Secretary of State for Communities and Local Government, early last year.
Roadworks leave residents isolated. This piece is headed with a photograph of a group of Coldon Common residents who have gathered in protest on the main road against the suspension of the bus service. Buses are suspended as main road closed for 10 weeks. Residents say they have been left stranded after bus services were suspended after roadworks closed a major road. Operators suspended services running along main road in Coldon Common after waterworks shut the route near Fisher's Pond for up to 10 weeks. The move means that many people, including the elderly and parents with young children, will be forced to walk more than half a mile to catch a two-hourly service at New Road. Some claim that the County Council has been unwilling to assist bus operators to put on an emergency service in time for the start of the road closures, which began on Monday. Parish Council Chairman Councillor Richard Izard said, "It's not very good at all to leave it to the last minute to sort these things out. We've got elderly people who won't have any access to a bus service into Winchester. We've been trying to get a community bus together. It's really quite late in the day. I thought we were in the process of negotiating, but everyone's gone quiet and the decision seems to have been made." Alma Suckling, 85, of Glen Park, said, "I need to go to the doctor once a week, sometimes more, and I have lunch at the community centre." Jackie Shaw, 73, also of Glen Park, said, "We are all isolated and some people can't walk very far. How the hell are we going to do our shopping? OK, so we have a co-op, or we could do our shopping online, but that's not the point. The County Council and the Water Board have shown and have known about this since September, but we're still all going to be without a bus. It's going to affect so many people, and for them to say we cannot subsidise the service, it's just not on." Bus companies Stagecoach and Bryjan have redirected their service via Highbridge Road. The two-hourly service run by Blue Star will still operate from New Road. However, Stagecoach confirmed the school buses, PS8 and PS9, will be available to the public. Stagecoach marketing officer Steve Thorpe said, "Unfortunately, we are unable to run via Albrook Hill due to the low bridge under the rail line, as double-deckers are used on the majority of 69 journeys. But the council claims it has tried to work with both Southern Water and the bus operators to overcome the problems." Councillor Sean Woodward said, "It's for the bus companies to determine what services to run during a road closure, and they will take into account the commercial viability of providing that service. Hampshire County Council facilitated two meetings between Southern Water and the bus companies Bryjan and Stagecoach, at which the costs of providing shuttle bus services to mitigate the diversions caused by the road closure were identified and discussed, together with the impact on school contract buses. Unfortunately, Southern Water and the bus companies have subsequently been unable to reach agreement on the funding of these shuttle services."
Sandbags issued as district escapes worst of weather. Flood warnings remained in force across Hampshire this week after one of the wettest periods on record. Winchester City Council issued 1,000 sandbags as a precautionary measure to householders in Hambledon and Cheriton near Alsford, despite the city managing to avoid the worst of the flooding that hit the south of the county. A council spokeswoman said, "We have 1,000 sandbags and flood bags, and we are ready to deploy them as soon as possible if needed. Hambledon is the area most affected and would probably be the first area to flood. Cheriton is also affected, but it isn't too bad there at the moment. We've been handing out sandbags where requested. The rivers are high at the moment, but they seem to be holding. At Water Lane and the Weirs in the city, the Itchen spilled over the banks, forcing the closure of the latter, but no homes were affected. At St Bede's Primary School, letters were sent to parents advising them of the potential nearby flooding issues. School bursar Doreen White said, 'The flooding is not affecting us, but we are having to send a letter out this afternoon to say that the school had flooded in 2000. However, the school is redesigned, so the school is always accessible, even if the playground or car park was flooded.' Helen Foley, 41, of Abbots Barton, was collecting her 9-year-old son Noah. She said, 'I read that the River Itchen was really bad and that it had risen, so we're just going to see it now. We walk through the dog through here, and it's been really affecting us. Unlike in 2000 and 2001, this time heavy rain was not falling on saturated ground and so was draining into the porous chalk. However, some walkways across River Park were virtually impassable as the River Itchen burst its banks, overflowing onto pavements, backing in onto the leisure centre and the playground. The Environment Agency said Hampshire should remain prepared for more flooding for the remainder of the week. Warnings were issued for the River Itchen and tributaries from Headbourne Worthy to Otterbourne. And there's a picture of a lady wading through water, and it's a woman holds a child as she wades through a flooded path near the River Park Leisure Centre and looks quite wet.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we're going to continue with the death notices, followed by Christian comment, letters, historical items, chronicle comment and first person. And then we'll do the announcements and what's on after that. So firstly, the death announcements. The death announcements this week in the Chronicle. Burgon, Phyllis Patricia Burgon, died peacefully after a long illness, aged 93. Driver, Christine Driver, died on the 31st of December, aged 75. Feist, Mabel Georgina Feist, died on the 22nd of December, aged 101. Gosling, Pam Gosling, died peacefully on the 3rd of January, aged 84. Hale, Ethel Mary Hale, died at Ashley Manor Nursing Home, aged 98. Hodgkinson, Alan Stanley Hodgkinson, died peacefully on the 31st of December, aged 89. Hunt, Doris Hunt, known as Dolly, died peacefully in hospital on the 28th of December. McCrindle, Ian McCrindle, died on the 1st of January, aged 84. Mere, Gilbert Ernest Mere, died peacefully on the 31st of December. Parry, Phil Parry, died on the 23rd of December, aged 88. Piper, Molly Eva Piper, died on aged 101. Sanders, Elizabeth Honor Sanders, died at home on the 27th of December, aged 99. Smart, Lieutenant Colonel Norman Elliott Smart, died on Christmas Day, aged 89. Wild, Terry Wild, died on the 6th of January, aged 84. Wright, Irene Phyllis Wright, died on Christmas Day, aged 93. And May Wright also died at home on Christmas Day, aged 76. Now we move on to Christian comment, Jean.
And this week it's written by Terry E. Hemming, and he's entitled it, Like Janus, We Need to Look Both Ways. As you read this, you will be looking back over 2013, and I hope looking forward to 2014. There will be other things that make us look back in 2014. It will be a year when we look back to 1914 and the start of the First World War. 80 years ago, the Second World War was still of great concern to all involved. And 50 years ago, after the murder of civil rights workers by the Ku Klux Klan, President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, abolishing segregation. While Cyprus was divided between the Greek and Turkish populations. 25 years ago, there were great changes as the Russian Republic struggled to gain their independence and Romania executed Nicolae and Elena Ceausescu. 10 years ago, 10 new member states of the European Union were admitted. Facebook was launched, and at the end of the year, one of the greatest natural disasters recorded happened when an earthquake measuring 9.30 on the Richter scale hit the entire Indian Ocean region, which resulted in a devastating tsunami. It is good to be able to remember, for that is what gives us our identity. But our memories are not the greatest definition of who we are. We need, like the ancient god Janus, to be able to look both ways. We need to look back, or we shall not learn from history. But we also need to look forward, so history does not have to keep on repeating itself because no one heard it the first time. Christians, and indeed people of many faiths, have a duty to do this. We are encouraged to remember the things that are past, so that we may not forget what has been achieved for us, and that we may be grateful. We are also not to forget the courage of those who struggled for what was right, and seek to follow them. Yet, we are also commanded to forgive. Our remembering is not so that we may harbour grudges or that we may extract revenge. The passing of time should mean enemies can be reconciled and the children of enemies can work together. As we start a new year, it is good to reflect on the need both not to forget and yet also to forgive, so that we may move on. This is true for the life of nations, but it is also true for us as individuals. As a Christian, I am reminded of this every week when I take Holy Communion. It reminds me the basis of my faith is founded on the death of Jesus Christ. It calls me to remember my being forgiven so that I may forgive others.
Thank you, Jean. Now we continue with letters to the editor, and Michael, you're going to start us off.
This one is headed, "I'd like to see the back of this market." And it comes from Robert Jackson, who lives in Badger Farm, Winchester. "Sir, your article on the cathedral's Christmas market, which was published on January the 2nd, seemed to miss one important group from those benefiting or suffering, the residents of Winchester. Getting in and out of the city by public transport is a lottery at this time. Buses find it difficult enough to run to time at the best of times, but with delivery vans and lorries blocking St. George's Street and vehicles parking illegally and using areas marked only for buses and taxis. But during the market, things are made even worse, with ridiculous signs coming off the M3 telling car drivers to use public car parks. Surely this should be amended to tell drivers to use park and ride. If people were encouraged to use the South Park and Ride, passengers could alight at the stop in Upper High Street and walk down to the cathedral, thus passing shops, which apparently they've not passed this year. By telling people to use city centre car parks, the authorities are encouraging the blocking of the streets with vehicles waiting for parking spaces to come free, which, of course, causes huge problems on all the city centre roads as things back up. It shows a total lack of common sense and consideration for others, for people to obstruct the highway and cause chaos throughout the city. Why are they allowed to do this? Is it not an offence to obstruct the highway? Until proper arrangements are made for those visiting to park outside the city, many local residents will avoid shopping in Winchester at Christmas and go where transport is easier. I and many others I've spoken to would be happy to see the back of the Christmas market, so that those living here can get back to enjoying the quality of life we expect." And that's from Robert Jackson, Ashbourne Crescent, Badger Farm, Winchester. And the editor does append a reply here, and it says, "Our story did mention difficulties experienced by some local residents."
And from Ralph Jessop, "City can't cope with Christmas. Sir, I'm not surprised that Winchester businesses were divided over the benefits of the Cathedral Christmas Market. As a guide working on Saturday, November the 30th, I can say the cathedral was full of visitors, many of whom arrived on the 37 coaches to come that day. They were able to enjoy our highlight tours, designed to provide a brief but memorable experience in the cathedral before they ventured into the market and shopping areas. However, when they left, Many found there was a long queue stretching back to the square, waiting to go into the inner close. This was because there were so many already in the market that entry was restricted, with visitors being allowed in as others left. We had visitors staying with us, and my plan was to meet my wife and friends for lunch. However, it was impossible to get into any of the city centre pubs, restaurants or coffee shops, so we walked home and delved deep into our freezer for lunch. This meant struggling through the high street, packed with slow-moving, disgruntled people, their progress hampered by the market stalls. If people didn't venture to Upper High Street, Jury Street or Parchment Street, it was because they physically couldn't. We live within walking distance of the city centre, but occasionally need to use a car and park for a couple of hours. In the run-up to Christmas, this was so problematic that I cancelled lunch bookings in the city centre restaurants and booked outside the city. When the city is congested like this, the best answer is to drive to Southampton, which is only 15 minutes away, and there's always parking available. Winchester didn't cope well on November the 30th, and I suspect on other occasions around Christmas. If numbers next year are lower, I'll not be surprised, because some will have had a good time there. There were plenty of disappointed visitors and locals. And that's from Ralph Jessop, Petersfield Road, Winchester.
Carte blanche to build anywhere is the heading of the letter from Jeff Bruty. Sir, Keith Story, letters January the 2nd, is right to bring it to our attention that the City Council is going ahead with projects despite opposition from residents. That's in quotes. But isn't that one of the things that people unsuspectingly voted for at the last general election? We were promised that if we threw the Labour government out, it would be the end of housing targets imposed from above, and we would have localism. Well, we've got localism now, and to our horror, we are discovering exactly what that means. It is that every bit of undeveloped space that developers can get their hands on can be built on, and the council is happy to okay any application, whether it is greenfield land or not. They don't seem to care, as long as we have growth, and Eric Pickles has given them carte blanche to do just that. Things might not be quite so bad if we had some faith that any development for the city that the council has approved or has in the pipeline will enhance Winchester. But plans like Silver Hill will, as Mr. Story says, make Winchester more like another Basingstoke. The last leader of the council at the public meeting in the Theatre Royal in October 2011 said that his ambition was for Winchester to be able to compete with Southampton and Basingstoke. So it looks as if his wish will soon be fulfilled, causing Winchester to plummet forever out of the list of the best places to live in Britain. From Jeff Bruty, Manningford Close, Winchester.
This letter comes from Gary Butcher and is entitled So Much for the Environment. Sir, I, having been an energy economist at the time of the OPEC oil price hikes in the 1970s, and understanding the vital need for the UK to have reliable energy sources, not only to keep the lights on, but to ensure economic growth and employment are maintained, it is of great concern to see wind turbines being even considered as an energy solution. Even if a wind turbine were to reach 20% of its theoretical capacity, we cannot predict when that might occur. So the 80% shortfall is now to be filled with thousands of computer-linked industrial diesel generators, all emitting noxious gases. So much for the environment. But never mind. The landowner will still get his £40,000 per turbine per year, and EDF will pocket millions while we consumers pay more and more. This really is Teletubby land. This is from Gary Butcher, Long Parish Road, Hurstbourne Priors, Whitchurch.
Tim James writes, commuters are getting good deal. Sir, reading that Winchester commuters to London are facing a 3.07% rise in their annual season tickets, it seems at first glance to be unreasonable, especially when so many other costs are increasing above the rate of inflation. Why, even the MP for Southampton Itchen, John Denham, has complained that southern commuters are paying disproportionately to the railway total costs. However, after some number crunching, it appears that even after allowing for holidays, commuters are receiving over 31,000 miles a year, paying just over £20 a day for a return journey to London, in the peak on a continually improving network. Long-distance season tickets are still very cheap. And that's from Tim James, The Pasture, Kingsworthy.
Wind farms are a complete con, says Jonathan Arnold. Sir, no surprise that Mr. Heath Caldwell is completely positive about the proposed wind farm, Chronicle January the 2nd. He is a member of the HEG organisation, which is helping EDF to promote their development and which has been funded by them. He criticises Steve Bryan, MP, for raising the question of safety for aircraft and helicopters. He says he has rarely noticed helicopter activity in the area. He clearly does not appreciate that the MOD goes to great lengths to avoid disturbing our homes. That is why the area near Bullington Cross is so important to them, especially at night, when an array of wind turbines 415 feet high would be very dangerous. I agree that we must stop trashing the atmosphere, but it does not follow that we must therefore trash our countryside. Heath Caldwell and his friends need to see the bigger picture. Do the countries which have the most wind farms, Germany and Denmark, have low carbon emissions? No, they have the highest carbon emissions in Europe. Do they have secure electricity supplies? No. Both countries are now heavily dependent on nuclear and coal power from their neighbours. Do they have affordable electricity? No, their electricity bills are among the highest in the world. The more I read about wind farms, it becomes very clear they are a complete con. They allow electricity companies to sweep up the subsidies, adding to our bills and destroying our wonderful Hampshire countryside and the vast array of wildlife it supports. And that was from Jonathan Arnold, Norton, Sutton Scotney.
Thank you. That concludes the letters. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860836, or you can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you can write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. And now we're going to step back in time, a little before our time, I think, Michael, 200 years.
200 years ago, yes. January the 10th, 1814. And it's headed, Prisoners Teach Crow to Steal. Bonaparte has lately sent medals of French honour to some of the French prisoners in Pennygirt, near Edinburgh, and to others, mere privates, he has transmitted commissions in the French service. As a proof of French rapacity and ingenuity, these prisoners have taught a crow to steal. They set him off from the prison yard when they hear that clothes are drying in a field contiguous to the prison of Pennykuick, and the creature picks up caps, clothes, and other articles with which it flies back into the prison. This mode of thieving by proxy has only lately been discovered.
And now, 100 years ago, on January the 10th, 1914, Pimpernel's a hit at the workhouse. The customary New Year's entertainment given by the Scarlet Pimpernels to the inmates of the workhouse was held on Thursday evening, and proved the event of events in the yearly life of the old folks who look forward to the coming of the pimps with a degree of pleasurable anticipation that's almost beyond measure. The concert commenced at 6 o'clock, and for over 2 hours the inmates were kept convulsed by the splendid programme which Mr. Vernon Charles and his talented company were again able to present. And secondly, Hampshire Quarter Sessions. John Galbraith, 19, soldier, and Richard Mackey, 20, soldier, pleaded guilty to 2 charges of window smashing at Aldershot on the night of December the 29th, doing damage to the extent of £15 in one case and £6 in the other. Mr. Temple Cook prosecuted and said the offence was apparently committed with the usual idea of getting out of the armed army. The counsel added that he was instructed to ask for an exemplary sentence because this class of offence had become an absolutely intolerable nuisance at Aldershot. Windows to the value of £150 had been smashed during the past year, and the tradesmen were no longer able to get their windows insured.
And for 50 years ago, January the 11th, 1964, bus drivers to ban overtime. Travellers in the Winchester area will this weekend be experiencing the effect of action taken by the bus crews of the King Alfred Motor Services Limited. It is probable that as from yesterday evening, certain services will cease, because the staff operating them will have completed a 42-hour week and will have implemented their decision to work to rule and ban overtime. Secondly, the Duke of Edinburgh, who presided over the Countryside in 1970 conference last November, subsequently gave his views in The Observer of some of the next steps to be taken in the national campaign for conserving Britain. Sizing up the present situation, he said, "We are now at the point when population and resources just about balance."
This piece comes from the files of 25 years ago, January the 13th, 1989, and it's headed, "Gaudy shop signs must be removed." Winchester City Council is clamping down on gaudy illuminated signs which are appearing on shop fronts throughout the town. No fewer than 7 came to the Planning Committee's attention last Thursday, and Assistant Director of Planning, Mr. Patrick Pym, warned that prosecutions would follow if the offending signs were not removed. Those cited were an unauthorised sign and shop front at the recently refurbished DER shop in the precinct, Perspex Letters at Clinton's, the newsagents, a new sign at Curtain Dream in the High Street, 5 brass lamps on a new French restaurant in Jury Street, and unauthorised signs at Reflex, the ATS department in Bar End Road, and Pizzaland. Video equipment designed to spare children the ordeal of standing in a Crown Court witness box has been installed at Winchester. The equipment is being tested at 14 courts in England and Wales following the introduction of the Criminal Justice Act 1989 on January the 5th. The Act allows judges to decide whether children under 14 should be allowed to give their evidence to a camera in a witness room instead of facing the jury and the accused. The object is to prevent witness intimidation.
Thank you. And there is a final historical item, a closer look at the modern police force, which is from the files of the Chronicle, dated Friday the November the 23rd, 1973. Not too modern then. Members of the public had their annual chance on Saturday of getting a closer look at the modern police force. All the aspects of police work, ranging from motor vehicles to criminal detection methods, were on display during the open day at North Walls Police Station, Winchester. Focal point of the display was the force's new police control vehicle. A converted lorry, it was only finished last Saturday. It features the spectacular new extending spa light, and the vehicle can be on the move at a minute's notice. Once at the scene of an accident or crime, the specialised radio equipment can keep the vehicle in constant contact with individual police officers through their handheld radios, as well as with neighbouring police officers. Also on display were police patrol cars, motorcycles, and a Range Rover used for motorway patrols. Although the Range Rovers are not used by the Winchester Force at present, they are expected to be brought in after the completion of the M3 motorway. And there's a picture, black and white picture, of course, in those days, of two young visitors to the exhibition trying out a videotape recording camera, which is linked to a huge old-fashioned television. The camera itself is nearly as big as one of the young lads trying it out. I suspect today's youngsters would find that a very amusing scenario. Okay, now we're moving on to editorial comment. Michael.
This is from the Hampshire Chronicle, of course, and I've noticed under the heading here that it is our 242nd year, which is quite an amazing fact. The editorial comment says, planning for a future of extreme weather. Britain has been in the grip of the worst storm for 20 years. Across the Atlantic, our American cousins have seen temperatures dip to as much as minus 30. The sheer scale of the terrible weather we have been experiencing is enough to test all of us. It is all down to global warming? Probably. But one thing's for sure, it seems we will all have to get used to more weather extremes in the years to come. That means everyone, from central and local government, the environmental agency, and others, must find the resources needed so that we, and particularly those on the coast, are better protected from what's to come, which could be far worse. That message should also go out to planners and house builders alike. In the desperate need to find land to build the thousands of new homes Hampshire and the rest of the country needs, full and proper consideration into the risks of flooding must become a priority. In the meantime, a special thank you should go to all the emergency services, so often stretched to the limit, for their dedication and bravery in helping those most affected by the elements.
Thank you. Now, first person, Brian.
Right. First person this week is Judith Hennigan, who says, how hard can it be to find myself a better deal? The rain is pattering on the window, the Christmas cake is gone, and I must face the inevitable. It's time I switched energy supplier. Several weeks ago, I had a message from my current supplier, one of the big six, to remind me that my fix is coming to an end. The alternatives they were presenting me with seemed both unfathomably complex and unanimous in their outcome. My bill will rise. Well, the deadline is here, and I'm not giving in without a fight. Energy companies are supposed to be making their tariffs more transparent. How hard can it be to find a better deal? I help myself to a mince pie and reach for the drawer containing the relevant paperwork. The drawer, however, will only open a centimetre or so. It's stuck, jammed tight with 12 months of correspondence and bills. No matter, I think, as my son removes the bottom of the drawer with the help of a fork and a palette knife, and a sheaf of papers falls on the floor. Something had to shift. And this is exactly the kind of event that the New Year is designed for, isn't it? I retrieve the mangled printout and smooth it out, ready to be logical, methodical, knowing I need to have the household's annual consumption to hand. Mystifyingly, these simple figures are nowhere to be found. I log on to the website. There I can find bar charts and tables and old bills, but the only way to obtain the actual figure I need is to tut up four separate amounts which aren't complete quarters, divide something else by 365, and multiply it by 15, the missing number of days, and finally reach an approximation. Armed with this information, I visit a price comparison site, but it can only make a comparison against the standard tariff of my old supplier, not the new online deal they've been promoting. For that, I have to do my own sums with figures extrapolated from the bottom of a 3-page email. And what about the boiler servicing that was done by my old supplier? Can I pay to keep this going if I switch? I dial a customer helpline and spend the next 30 minutes on hold while my brain is filled with earworms and I scoff another 2 mince pies. I hang up and hang the boiler too. In the end, I do switch, if only to console myself that the maths wasn't wasted. It's almost always worth it, of course, but the complexity, the obfuscation and the jargon remain eye-popping. I can only imagine how one must feel for anyone struggling to heat their home this winter. Right. No more mince pies. I'm going to make a start on my self-assessment tax return, which in comparison should be a piece of cake.
Oh, dear.
Yes, right. Following that, we've got What's On. So we move on to the announcements and What's On. We'll start with What's On. There's a concert on Saturday, January the 11th at Winchester Chamber Orchestra Concert at St Paul's Church, St Paul's Hill at 7:30 p.m, playing Schumann, Beethoven and Pickering. It's £10 or £8 for concessions on the door. The theatre, the Mayflower Theatre, has Robin Cousins Ice running from Wednesday to Sunday, January the 15th to the 19th at 7:30 p.m. with a matinee on Saturday and Sunday. So for more information on Robin Cousins Ice at the Mayflower, telephone the Mayflower box office on 02380 711 811. That's 02380 711 811. On Saturday, January the 18th, at the Village Hall at Itchenabbas, there's a Nepalese adventure, which is a presentation by Beth Halford describing her 3-month physiotherapy work for disabled children in Kathmandu. It's £10 including refreshments, so for more information on that event, telephone 01962 779611. That's 01962 779611. And that's on Saturday, January the 18th at the Village Hall at Itchenabbas. Also on January the 18th, next Saturday, The First World War, Your Time to Share. And that's an event at Winchester Discovery Centre in Jury Street in the afternoon between 1 and 4:30. The public are invited to bring their stories and memorabilia relating to Hampshire's role in World War I. So for more information on that event, the First World War at the Discovery Centre, telephone 01962 873 610. That's 01962 873 610. Now, lighting up time ends on Friday the 10th of January at 8:06 a.m. and begins at 4:20 p.m. And on Wednesday the 15th of January, it ends at 8:02 a.m. and begins at 4:27 p.m. If you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Irene Dowding on 01962 870 370. That's Irene Dowding on 01962 870 370, and there should be a new card with those details, laminated card, inside your wallet if you can't find this number. And now we continue with further items of general news. Jean.
The heading of the first item is Town Must Expand Onto Farmland to Prosper. Bold solutions for new housing needed, meeting here's. Planners have revealed that they want to see major expansion of Alsford onto farmland to the east of the market town. A public meeting attended by some 80 people on Tuesday heard the city and town councils believe 320 new houses should be built on fields off Sun Lane. Industry would relocate from the Dean to a new site with access off the A31. the freed-up town centre land could be used for housing, including a nursing home. But Perrins Secondary School will now stay on its current site on Pound Hill, instead of relocating as previously suggested. Steve Opachik, head of strategic planning, held the meeting at Alsford Recreation Centre. Mr. Opachik said the growth was the best way of stopping the town becoming an elderly dormitory and preserving the local shops, schools and services. He said the government had said there must be 500 new houses in the town by 2031. A small site for travellers must also be provided, he added. The meeting heard it was crucial to plan for the 500 homes, otherwise the town would be left with no weapon to fight developers. We have to take the bull by the horns, Mr. Opachik said. This is a bold solution. We don't deny that. Some might have other words for it. Previous public meetings in 2012 and 2013 discussing similar ideas have been ill-tempered with strong opposition. But on Tuesday, there was some support for the ideas. Peter Pooley said, "It is worth emphasising, if we want Alsford to remain as it is, a number of things have to change. One of them is the number of houses. If we don't, then the population will decline and the prosperity of Alsford will decline."
Duo opened new bridal store. Alsford duo Melita and Stephen Glaister, pictured in here, a photograph standing in front of their shop, can't resist the lure of a new challenge. Having created the fashion shop number 42 on West Street and reinvented the old dry cleaners Alsford Linen Company on Broad Street, they have now opened a new bridal shop, the White House, just up from number 42. Melita said, "I just felt I had another business in me. I couldn't run a shop I didn't love. And what is more lovely than helping brides plan the most special day of their lives? Every girl wants to feel like a princess when they get married, and Melita and her team have done the legwork to find the most exquisite dresses and accessories from both new and established British bridal designers. For years, Stephen Glaister ran restaurants in London, and Melita worked on magazines, so they know a thing or two about taste and how to put together the right atmosphere." Melita said, "Alsford is the perfect town to plan a wedding. There are beautiful florists, wine merchants, photographers, dress shops for mothers of the bride, to bridesmaids, gift shops for presents, and when it all gets too much, coffee shops and restaurants. Alsford has it all."
Friends of King Alfred Buses New Year Running Day. As the conductor rang the bell and shouted, "Halt tight, please," vintage bus enthusiasts were transported to a different age for one last time. The last of the New Year Winchester Buses running days was a seasonably wet one, but it didn't keep the spirits down of drivers, conductors and passengers alike. Heritage buses and coaches, dating as far back as the 1950s, transported people right across the county to as far north as Southern Scotney and as far south as Chandler's Ford, on the last New Year's free service of its kind. Friends of King Alfred Buses donned caps with specialist pins, wearing traditional nylon green uniform. None looked quite so formal as the membership secretary, Stuart Neal, who served the buses as a conductor for 8 years. "This was the first bus ever used on a running day back in 1985, he said, speaking of the 1959 Leyland Tiger Cub with a Wayman body kit. "The running day is well known in Winchester, but popularity is spreading because we get a lot of other buses coming down from other parts of the country. This is the last New Year's Day service we'll be running, mainly due to the loss of bus station, part of the Silverhill development. We're looking to do more in 2015, but it's not been confirmed yet. It's a shame, really. We're a very happy bunch. We all have so much fun doing it, and it's been running for the last 30 years. 1983 was the first, and then it's slowly built up to what it is today. It's the biggest running day in the country. Driving alongside was Ian Mamming, who's volunteered for last three years. The bus is very refined, he said. There's no power steering, but it's from an era when motors were dependable. It's so much more reliable than anything you get today. Last year we issued 22,000 tickets, but it's not going to be the same this year, and that's all down to the weather. Julia Payne and her daughter Ava from Middlebrook Street said they've been climbing aboard these buses for years. She said, I go on this bus every year to go and visit my mum in Stanmore. My stepdad is part of the King Alfred too. So the whole family is involved.
Barristers walk out over Whitehall cuts. Court proceedings in Winchester came to a grinding halt as barristers walked out in protest at government cuts on Monday. In an unprecedented move, lawyers across the county refused to defend or prosecute cases in Winchester. Members of the bar are furious at the coalition's attempt to slash the UK's annual £1 billion legal bill and say the very future of justice in the UK is at stake. They launched a last-ditch attempt to halt cuts of up to 25% off legal aid fees, which they say will have far-reaching consequences. In a statement read outside Winchester Crown Court, James Newton Price, a barrister at Pump Court Chambers, spoke on behalf of the Western Circuit, which has around 1,000 members across Hampshire and the South West. He said, "A lot of damage is being done to your justice system in your name. There is time, just, for the government to pull back from the brink. If it does not, it can never now be said that barristers did not warn everyone about what was happening to justice in our society as a result of lazy, ill-judged and socially regressive government policy." He added, "If the rates are not appropriate, you can no longer attract the right quality of people, and the quality of the profession as a whole is reduced. There will be a greater risk of miscarriages of justice." Barristers claim that 6 years of cuts mean the latest round amounts to a total of 41% in real terms. They also argue that around 60% of the bar earn £35,000 or less a year. Barrister Adam Feast of 3PB Chambers also took part in the action and said there is a misconception that all barristers earn large sums. "We feel that we have already made sacrifices over the years and have already taken huge pay cuts, and things have now reached a limit," he said. In September, after fierce opposition from law firms, the government U-turned on proposals to award legal aid contracts to the lowest bidder. Justice Minister Chris Grayling claims the proposed cuts would save £220 million a year.
Boomtown's bid for 50,000 capacity. The organisers of the annual Boomtown Fair want to increase its capacity by two-thirds over the next few years. They have applied to the City Council for permission to stage events for up to 50,000 people by 2016 at the Matterley Bowl near Winchester. The current licence is for 30,000. The proposal is to have a 38,000 capacity this year, 45,000 in 2015, and 49,999 in 2016. One villager from nearby Cheriton, who asked not to be named, said, "Most people will not be aware of this. The application was put in just before Christmas when most people were going off on holiday. I think it is going to increase the likelihood of crime and disorder, and with most of the extra 20,000 people arriving by car, it'll make the traffic much worse after the event. Local people will be affected trying to get to work. He added, I don't mind them doing it, providing it doesn't stop me from getting to sleep at night. Alison Matthews, chairman of the Upper Itchen Valley Society, said, Personally, I do not think they should have the fourth day, and people should go home on the Sunday. It is unfair to be kept awake and then have traffic problems at the start of the new week. Mrs. Matthews said, There was a lot of unhappiness in the Abington area because of the poor signing of the closure of the local turning onto the westbound A31. The organisers are extremely bad at putting notices in Itchen Abbas. The parish council has gone on about it. Better communications would make an enormous difference. The proposal comes only weeks after the city council announced it was reviewing the licence for Boom Town. The council praised the organisers for staging a successful event, but said there was concern over several breaches of licence, including noise levels. There were 17 complaints about noise in 2013, down on the previous year. Landowner Peveril Bruce said, I'm comfortable with that, 50,000. Boomtown is discussing their growth with the authorities. They are being restricted on the speed by the authorities. They have almost doubled in size every year. The police, mainly, have prevented them, that's the organisers, from growing at the speed they would like to because they think they should continue to improve their management structure, which they are. I don't think it will make any difference to local people. There'll be more people here, which may mean more traffic, but we're all working hard to improve traffic management. Mr. Bruce said he was keen to involve local people in the community liaison group. Lack Mitchell, Boomtown creative designer and co-founder, said Boomtown's application for a 49,999 capacity licence is part of a three-year plan that, if all stakeholders and responsible authorities are in agreement, will give the festival the scope to expand at a steady pace to keep up with the demand required to put on such a creative and bespoke event.
Unreported attacks of domestic abuse. Too many victims suffer in silence, say the police. Victims of domestic abuse in Hampshire suffer an average of 35 assaults before they call the police, it's been revealed, and six people in the county have died as a result of domestic violence in the past 4 years. A growing number of men are becoming victims too, according to new research by the police. Last year alone, there were 6,248 domestic violence crimes, and 22% of those involve a male victim in Hampshire, an increase of 123 compared to the same period last year. The shocking statistics come in the wake of a Hampshire Police domestic abuse campaign which ran over the festive period. The Speak Out campaign encouraged victims, abusers, friends and family to help at a time when 20% more domestic incidents are reported to police. It comes after it was also revealed that the county's refuges are at breaking point. The South Hampshire Women's Refuge can only accommodate one in five women due to lack of space. Last year, the refuge accommodated 46 women and 48 children, but has been unable to find room for 182 women and 150 children. Nationally, the charity Women's Aid warned of a crisis in domestic violence services. One woman spoke out to say she'd suffered such appalling abuse at the hands of her husband, she tried to kill him by poisoning his cocoa, and without getting help, she fears she would be dead. Superintendent Ben Snuggs said domestic abuse could involve people of all ages and gender and incorporates everything from physical violence to controlling behaviour. He's witnessed incidents of people who have controlled their partner's finances, letting them out of the home but not allowing them to spend any money, victims who are stalked by their partners and receive constant texts or calls when they're out, as well as cases of rape and sexual violence. He urged people to get help. whether it's physical or emotional, we are really clear domestic abuse. So that should read, we're really clear. I'll read this again. Whether it's physical or emotional, we are really clear on the domestic abuse is what it is. It's violent crime, plain and simple. Whether it's male or female, we're working hard throughout the year to protect victims and target perpetrators. Domestic abuse is domestic abuse, whatever you may be suffering. Please have the confidence and courage to speak out. If you don't, there may not be a tomorrow.
Rate of young job seekers has almost doubled. The number of young people unemployed in Winchester has almost doubled since the start of the recession, a new survey reveals. The Prince's Trust, which works to tackle youth unemployment, published its annual youth index last week. It said the number of 16 to 24-year-olds out of work in July 2008 was 1,100, compared to 2,100 in July 2013, an increase of about 91%. The Trust also said that 16% of young people across the South East had experienced mental health issues, including suicidal thoughts or panic attacks, as a direct result of unemployment. Last year, the charity worked with 3,871 disadvantaged young people across the South East, and staff say they have seen a 188% increase in the number of young people claiming benefits for more than 6 months. County Councillor Alan Dowden is the Liberal Democrat spokesman on adult social care. He said, "We have serious financial constraints, but I do believe sometimes we can find money for wars quite readily, and we dish money out all over the world, but charity starts at home, and we should be looking after our own. They're the lost generation. Most unemployed adults have experienced work and have had some training, of whatever kind. But these young people who have not experienced it could get trapped in a cycle." Chief Executive of Winchester Citizens Advice Bureau, Jenny Meadows, said she was surprised at the drastic increase. She said, "When young people come to us, it's generally about consumer-type issues, such as mobile phone contracts. But we have got quite a few other unemployed people who get tied up in payday loans. When they get to the stage when they cannot pay them back, then what do they do?" But Dermot Finch, Southern Regional Director of the Prince's Trust, said in the South East there are 7,360 young people facing long-term unemployment, and that many of these slip under the radar. "Our research highlights that unemployed young people are significantly less likely to ask for help if they are struggling to cope. Our message to them is this: there are organisations out there that can help you," he said. For more information about the Prince's Trust, well, I have to give you a website here, www.princestrust.org.uk/youthindex. Or follow them on Facebook. I'm afraid there isn't a telephone number, unfortunately.
Trust staff recognised for their dedication. There's a very happy photograph here at the top of two members of staff at the hospital being presented with their awards by Chief Nurse Donna Green. The Trust behind Winchester's Royal Hampshire County Hospital has won a national prize for serving the community. Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Andover War Memorial Hospital and Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital, has been named Best Organisation for Serving the Community by the WOW Awards. The awards are designed to help organisations recognise great customer service throughout the year. At Hampshire Hospitals, the WOW Awards were first introduced in 2009, and more than 100 nominations are received each month from patients and staff. Nominations are considered by a panel, which includes Foundation Trust governors, and a small number of winners are chosen who are surprised in their workplace by Chief Nurse Donna Green and presented with a certificate. WOW Award winners are invited to a quarterly celebration lunch with their colleagues and the Board of Directors and Foundation Trust Governors to celebrate their work in going the extra mile in customer service, innovation or patient safety. Donna Green said, "I'm so proud that the work of our staff has led to us receiving this award, and even more so that it reflects that we put excellent patient care at the heart of everything we do. I write personally to thank each member of staff who receives a WOW nomination, and it is one of the most pleasurable parts of my job to read the nominations and hear that we are getting things right for our patients and families in so many areas."
Ski teen suffered multiple injuries. Inquest opens into Austrian avalanche tragedy. A Winchester teenager died after suffering multiple injuries in a ski accident in Austria, an inquest has heard. Winchester College student Cameron Bespoker, 16, pictured above, died of multiple injuries on 17th December after he, his father and a ski guide were engulfed in snow in the resort of Lech am Arlberg, Central Hampshire coroner Graham Short was told. The avalanche swept Cameron, his father Kevin, 51, and the guide 150 metres down the mountain, leaving Cameron's triplet brother, Nicholas, who had been skiing at a short distance behind, watching from the top. The three were thought to have been skiing off-piste. It's understood that the family has now returned home to Winchester after Mr. Bespoker was released from intensive care, where he was being treated for knee and leg injuries. Nicholas was treated for shock. Mr. Short adjourned the inquest to a date to be fixed. Police have confirmed the ski instructor is being investigated on charges of negligence leading to the serious injury with fatal consequences, as the route the group had taken was not one that was authorised. They added that all those in the group had safety equipment, including an avalanche airbag, backpack, probes and shovels. Cameron's mother, Corinne Bespoker, 53, the boy's triplet sister, for Megan, and 12-year-old sister, Sienna, are believed to have been at their hotel when the accident happened. No one from Cameron's family wished to make a statement at this time. The headmaster of Winchester College, Ralph Townsend, described Cameron as popular with staff and pupils alike. He added, "Patient and caring, he put people immediately at their ease. He also had an impish and dry sense of humour." Cameron's interests included bird watching, tennis and cross-country running. Paying tribute, the official blog of Next Generation Birders, NGB, said, "Always quick with a joke or witty retort, Cameron became well known within the NGB thanks to his dedicated patching, love of the South Coast and inability to twitch a near semi-palmated sandpiper as he was pressing apples. Frequent updates from Cameron on the state of birding on his patch, Winchester Sewage Farm, quickly showed him for the die-hard patcher he was, and many of us were impressed with his amassed total, but especially his enthusiasm for birding simply for the joy of birding itself."
And here's a piece of news to hearten you. 14,000 pounds worth of wedding dresses are given to charity shop. Christmas came early this year for one Winchester charity shop when a big collection of bridal gowns and wedding accessories were donated. The Naomi House shop in St George's Street was given 35 wedding dresses, shoes and flower girl dresses when Sarah Greaves, owner of the Winchester bridal store, the Ivory Boutique, gave away former display gowns. Andrea Barmer, store manager at Naomi House, received a call from Miss Greaves asking if she could take on the stock. Miss Barmer could hardly contain her excitement when, within a matter of minutes of the call, Miss Greaves had the shop full of off-the-rack gowns, some of which were worth as much as £2,000. Miss Greaves was unavailable for comment. Her shop in Chesil Street is now closed and has been emptied of all fixtures and fittings. Miss Barmer said, "I was over the moon and just so excited when she told me. It's mad. We've already had so much interest. One woman was banging on the door before I'd even opened this morning. This has never happened before, at least not on this scale." She said the gowns should fetch up to £400 each, bringing in £14,000. That doesn't include the bridal shoes and 11 flower girl dresses that were also donated, some of which are the same design as those seen in the royal wedding of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. It will be a fantastic start to a new appeal that's being launched, where we aim to raise £4 million for Naomi House, she said. I think it's just made everyone so happy. The models were so excited and the staff are so excited. The dresses sparked so much attention from the public that some people even stepped into the busy Christmas Eve traffic to take pictures of the models standing outside the shop. Within a short time of opening, Miss Barmer said even more people came forward offering their own wedding dresses up for the good cause, which Miss Barmer calls the snowball effect. "I was given a beautiful old rocking horse, and then someone saw it and said they didn't realise we'd take them, so gave in theirs. Then another person saw the second one and brought in theirs. In the end, it meant we ended up having a £3,500 week. And there's a lovely photograph of three beautiful girls dressed in three of these truly lovely wedding dresses."
Help to buy fuels house price rises. House prices in Winchester and throughout the county have been buoyed by the government's help to buy scheme. New figures suggest this. Data from building societies and estate agents show that of average property prices in the district are on the up. But a leading estate agent said the increased demand will come at a price. And last week, Vince Cable, the business secretary, warned that sharp price rises in the south risk creating another property bubble. Helen Asteris, a director of Fox & Son, said new buyer registrations are up 41% annually, a clear sign that the government's Help to Buy initiative is stimulating demand. But supply levels are not matching this growth, and the imbalance is pushing up prices. Figures from Fox and Son show average prices in Winchester reached £218,955 in November 2013, up 1% on the previous year and 17% higher than the average for South Hampshire. The volume of Fox's sales transactions across the city in November 2013 increased 79% annually and 9% on the previous month, according to the estate agent. Meanwhile, the Nationwide Building Society reported that Mid-Hampshire prices, which includes Winchester, hit an average of £284,104 in the final quarter of 2013 and rose 6% year on year. Southampton fared even better, with prices rising by 7% to an average of £232,016. Robert Gardner, Nationwide's chief economist, said the price of a typical UK house rose by 2.7% in the fourth quarter of 2013 after allowing for seasonal effects. Prices were up 7.1% over the year as a whole. Amongst the English regions, the south of England continued to outperform the north. Ms. Asteris said, The Southampton market is especially strong, with new buyer registrations up by 55% annually, and property price growth of 11% annually, far outstripping national levels. The growth of the commercial sector and the student population means that there is a wide range of amenities and entertainment options, which is facilitating demand.
All creatures great and small. In Noah's day, it was easy. The animals came two by two into the ark. Things are a bit more complicated these days at Marwell Wildlife near Colden Common. Registrar Debbie Pearson has been touring the zoo, tossing up the numbers of creatures great and small. From the towering giraffes to the industrious leafcutter ants, the annual stocktake must include them all. More than 5,000 creatures across 140 species were recorded for this year's check. Miss Pearson said the annual inventory is completed every January in accordance with zoo legislation. This requires each animal collection to keep exact records of each animal species, births, deaths, arrivals into and departures out of the collection. All of this information is then logged into the International Species Information System. As well as being able to show inspectors the report, the audit is also shared with zoos around the world. This helps them manage breeding programs for endangered species. The audit also helps zoos understand more about how well breeding programs are working and how much money is likely to be spent on food, bedding and medicine throughout the next year. Marwell has seen a number of new arrivals this year, including a giant anteater baby, snow leopard cubs, Arabian oryx calves, scimitar-horned oryx calves, penguins, and most recently a pygmy hippo. The zoo has also welcomed an Amur tiger as part of the European Endangered Breeding Programme. And there's a very nice picture of Miss Debbie Pearson checking on giraffes, and the giraffes are all looking very interestedly at the camera.
Schools remember homeless. Two schools in the Winchester district sent more than 100 boxes of Christmas treats to the city's homeless. Peter Simmons College and Fair Oak Junior School students joined forces with St Thomas Church to deliver the Christmas cheer. Homeless hostel Trinity Winchester said it was delighted to have received over 100 shoeboxes full of gifts for its service users. There were practical gifts like gloves, socks and hats, all beautifully wrapped, as well as sweets and chocolates. The festive boxes were received during Trinity's Christmas dinner. Sue McKenna, General Manager at Trinity, said, "We were so grateful to be able to give out these fantastic gifts and spread some Christmas cheer to some of Winchester's most vulnerable individuals. For many of the people we support, Christmas is lonely, depressing and bitterly cold. These gifts not only give our service users a treat during this time, but it also reminds them that people in our community do care and have been thinking of them. Thank you to everyone who got involved with this wonderful act of giving."
More seats to Guernsey. Passengers flying between Southampton and Guernsey can look forward to travelling on a bigger plane thanks to the launch of a new aircraft. Southampton Airport welcomed Blue Island's new 66-seat ATR 72-500 aircraft, which is pictured below here on my piece of paper, which would increase seats to and from the island by 110,000 a year. The larger plane, which will have two pilots and two cabin crew, replaces the 19-seat Jetstream aircraft, an increased capacity of 250%, and is the first of this type for Blue Islands. The airline is also offering a very special complimentary in-flight service on its Southampton runs, with hot bacon sandwiches for breakfast and a full champagne bar service on return flights. The ATR 72500 is a 66-seat turboprop aircraft and is the first of this type for Blue Islands, which bought three other new aircraft last year. Sorry.
Pensioner's car crashes and rolls downhill. A pensioner is lucky to be alive after her car plunged 20 feet down a hill in Winchester when her sandal got trapped under the accelerator. The woman, who is in her 80s, crashed through metal railings before her Nissan Micra rolled several times down a bank before coming to rest among trees and bushes. Firefighters and a specialist ambulance team trained to deal with patients in hazardous spots were alerted. Branches and trees were cut from around the wreckage, and the elderly driver hoisted from the car using ropes. She was taken to Southampton General Hospital after escaping from the accident in Queen's Road near the Royal Hampshire County Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Firefighter James Locke of Winchester Fire Station, who attended the scene, said it could have been much, much worse. She was very lucky. She was very shocked. She was more concerned that people were making too much of a fuss about her. Mr. Locke added, apparently when she was being hoisted out, she was asked where her body was in pain, and she said, I'm in my 80s. I hurt everywhere. He said the pensioner believed her sandal became caught on the accelerator, causing her car to go out of control.
Thank goodness for the NHS, says Caroline. A student nurse from Winchester has been doing her bit and helping create a new medical centre in Ghana. Caroline Edmonds, a third-year adult and mental health nursing student at the University of Southampton, has recently returned from her mission in Africa, funded by a scholarship awarded by a national charity. The 40-year-old mother of three from Hairstock was judged the winner of the Community Award, which came with a prize of a travel scholarship worth £1,500. Ms. Edmonds, pictured, was one of 22 nursing and midwifery students shortlisted for five scholarship awards run by the nursing charity Cavell Nurses Trust. The charity helps former and current nurses, midwives and healthcare assistants in financial hardship. Ms. Edmonds, a former police officer for 13 years, said, we started work at a functioning but dilapidated and unfit for purpose health centre, which serves hundreds of people in this very rural area. Excuse me. We were faced with what, in essence, was a workshop garage with rooms off which served as treatment and storage rooms, with one slightly better area serving as a labour ward. The centre welcomed children and adults daily from miles around, suffering with malaria and diarrhoea and vomiting, and also for women to have their babies in an environment which in most cases is far better than the conditions they endure at home. She added, I learnt a great deal about the value and worth of our NHS. Never again will I complain about waiting in A&E or that I can't get a GP appointment when it suits me. Miss Edmonds spent 3 weeks renovating the dilapidated medical centre in Bomfa with fellow Southampton students, filling in cracks, painting, installing fans and lighting and much needed mosquito nets at the windows. And there's a very happy photograph. This lady, Miss Edmonds, is smiling away, surrounded by a group of very happy-looking parents and children in the new centre.
Fishmonger's new idea is catching on. River trips enable customers to reel in their own. Peter Atkinson might call himself a dinosaur, but his latest business idea is definitely forward-thinking. For more than 20 years, his fishmonger's shop in the heart of Bishop's Waltham has been emblematic of the traditional market town. But conscious of a changing economic landscape, including the impending arrival of a new Sainsbury's superstore, he's been thinking outside the box. and now offers the freshest possible fish. I'm a mad keen fisherman anyway, and I've had a little charter boat for years, and I often go out fishing for fun. We thought, hang on a minute, this is quite an expensive hobby, so why not try and make it commercially viable, he said. After buying a bigger boat, he had to get his qualification shipshape. I had to do a safety course and a kind of survey about a year ago, and now I can take people out safely and properly. Now, residents have been joining Mr. Atkinson on the boat since last summer, and he says the boat leaves just as often as he has enough customers signed up. I've just been advertising in the shop at the moment, though, being the technology dinosaur that I am, he said. The trip set off from the Universal Marina on the Hamble, and Mr. Atkinson says it's not only the fish they're after. They come to get a good view of the needles, or perhaps to get a view of a yacht race. But when people catch good mackerel, they can take it home for themselves, or they can gladly bring it back to us at the shop, and we can prepare it for them. Not everyone knows how to deal with their catch. Atkinson's Fresh Fish and Smoked Foods is in Hoochin Street and can be contacted on 01489 896 111.
Charity receives £301,000 from the lottery. A charity aimed at helping people whose loved ones have been murdered has now received national funding. Escaping Victimhood, based in Winchester, has been given £301,000 over the next 3 years from the Reaching Communities Fund at the Big Lottery to help them support people who have indirectly fell victim to crime. Director Deborah Clothier said, "This will enable us to develop our programs so all those who have lost a loved one through murder or manslaughter can have the opportunity to attend the Escaping Victimhood program and to give them the opportunity for a more positive future." The charity aims to help these victims through residential counselling, a program which brings people together in groups of 12 to work through their problems away from the normal environments. Over 500 people are murdered every year in England and Wales, often leaving family and friends traumatised. Not only do they have the stress of coping with loss, but their involvement with the criminal justice system can often make the bereavement process even more difficult. It has been known to have financial impact as well as causing mental and physical health problems. For more information, contact Escaping Victimhood at info@escapingvictimhood.com or visit escapingvictimhood.com. And there's a picture of presumably the organisers of this charity.
Fame goes before them. When a Winchester man took a look at a Swiss newspaper, he had no idea he'd be reminded of his home city. Alan Russell of Compton Down was sent a copy of the Tages-Anzeiger, scanned at right from friends in Zurich, which contained the familiar image of Winchester's choir boys skating on the ice at the cathedral's inner close. Mr. Russell of Field Close said, "It was just a lovely surprise to look down and see them having such a nice time at the Christmas market. I like the colour of the red robes against the ice, as it makes for a good photograph." The caption read, "A cold wave brought Great Britain temperatures down to minus 14 degrees. The choristers of Winchester Cathedral still have their fun." And this lovely photograph, I think we've probably seen several times in our local paper, of the choristers skating on the ice.
MP welcomes extra funds for service families. Winchester and Chandlesford MP Steve Bryan has given a warm welcome to increased school support for children from service families and youngsters in care. Prime Minister David Cameron recently announced the extension of a scheme to help disadvantaged youngsters. The programme, called the Pupil Premium, offers extra cash to schools to help new pupils settle in, cope with stress, and keep up with their classmates. It means more money to schools near military bases, where there is a high turnover of children. In Winchester District, this includes South Wanston and Harestock Primary Schools, plus Henry Beaufort Comprehensive. In 2014-15, the funding will rise to £2.5 billion across the country, with £1,300 for primary pupils and £935 for secondary and £1,900 for all children in care. The scheme's funding will be extended to 2018. In Winchester and Chandlesford, disadvantaged pupils will receive £2.1 million in 2014-15, says Mr. Bryan, adding, "This is excellent news for disadvantaged pupils and their families across Winchester and Chandlesford, and will give local schools the support they need to ensure that every child, regardless of their background, can fulfil their potential."
Thank you, and that concludes the extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors, Lorna Chorley and Michael Turner. And thanks to our copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams. And of course, thank you to our readers, Jean Carswell.
Goodbye.
Michael Wyard.
Goodbye.
And Brian Woodruff.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vincent, goodbye and do have an enjoyable week. When you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.